So, really, really happy to have you here, like I said. You know, how many of you guys really enjoy having a really good meal? Yeah, me too. I love to go out and I love to have a really good meal. But you know, I was thinking the other day when I was thinking about writing this message, I was thinking about what are actually my favorite meals that I've ever had? What would they be? And I was really surprised by really what I thought of. Because when I thought about what the favorite meals are, they really didn't really come around as much as good food as it was other reasons. You know, I was thinking, what are the three things that really were meaningful to me, probably the best meals I ever had? One was probably, honestly, the very dry, very, very dry turkey sandwich that I was given after the hospital kitchen closed the day I gave birth to my daughter on April 14th, 1984. This sandwich probably no one would have ate anywhere else. But to somebody who's been like, you know, denied food for a day and a half during labor, you were really appreciative of that sandwich. So I would say that's probably one of my favorite meals that I've ever had. I was thinking that we had this one time when we were on vacation. We never had a lot of money. So what we did was we went to this little cove restaurant in Wisconsin when all of us were traveling around in a motorhome. And we stopped and we had coffee and dessert. Just me, John, Cameron, and Shelby. And it was just very, very simple, nothing really elaborate, just coffee and dessert. But it was like one of those moments where time kind of stood still and you just kind of enjoyed that moment. And I was thinking also the other thing was probably Thanksgiving dinners with my mother and father-in-law. And I was thinking it was at their house. I don't know why I'm getting choked up. But it was probably those moments where we had really fancy plates, really fancy cups, and she made turkey dinner, and honest to God, I never understood it, but she made tater tots and onion rings with them. No mashed potatoes, no gravy, which totally blew my mind in a family that's all starches. That's all we ever did was potatoes and gravy and stuff. But you know, when I look back at those moments, I think those are my favorite meals. Those three things are probably some of the things that come closest to my mind as being some of my favorite meals I've ever had. And if I were to ask you, what were your best meals? What were the best meals that you've ever had? I'm sure that you could think of some really good ones. Maybe for some of you it really is, you know, the lobster dinner that you had maybe on your first date or, you know, with somebody special. Or maybe it was the perfectly cooked steak that you did on the grill this last summer when you were with your family and friends. Or the prime rib dinner that you had at Christmas last year. Or it is the turkey dinner that you had at Thanksgiving. I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where you had pasta, you know, you're traveling, you're on vacation, and you stopped at this little restaurant, and it was this amazing pasta that probably was no better than anything else, but was really good because you were on vacation and you're sharing it with family and a time that was special. Maybe for some of you, it's just good old home cooking. Maybe it's just that good old home cooking. My husband says all the time, he says he'd rather eat just at home any day than eat out. He really enjoys the home cooking experience, so maybe that's you. For some of you out there, maybe for you kids that are out in the audience, maybe for some of you guys, it's really honestly just the pizza you had at your birthday party last time. You know, you're like, that's what really was good to me. That was my best meal. It was like best pizza. You know, maybe you went to Chuck E. Cheese or one of those places and that was really special. So some of you guys might think of the fact it was like a gourmet meal. Maybe it's like something really, really special. But for some of you, maybe like me, it could just be as simple as really your mom made you a box of mac and cheese and that was your memory. And that was something that was meaningful to you. Maybe for you it was for Fruit Loops. Maybe you had cereal at supper, sometimes before you went to bed, and that was something that was meaningful. You know, the one thing I've really thought about when I thought about what your best meals were, I was thinking, your best meals really are a lot of times more so less about the food than it is about the memory. That's what we actually go back to. It's the memory that we're in, or the company that we're keeping, and what we're celebrating is actually way more meaningful than the actual food that we eat. Somehow the food that was just probably mediocre left a better taste in our mouths because of the fact of who we're with and what it is that we're celebrating. So today, like I said, we're going to celebrate this very, very important meal. And it's together. And like I said, it is going to be a little loud. Young and old alike are here, and it's going to be a noisy affair. As you can hear, we're going to be a little noisy. And you know, it may look like a more poorly laid out buffet than it is a sit-down fancy dinner. But hopefully you'll understand that it has meaning and it should be memorable to you because of what it is that we're actually celebrating and that we are celebrating together, all of us coming together to celebrate Jesus. And that's what this whole thing is about. So you might just be getting a simple piece of bread, a little tiny piece, and a little taste of grape juice. but it has much more meaning than that. It may not be gourmet, but it's a meaningful thing. It tastes all the sweeter because of who it is that we're celebrating. Well, we know that communion actually is a throwback. One of the things that's interesting is first we had Passover. Passover was when the Israelites were enslaved in Egypt and Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. So God sent all the plagues and still they would not be let go. So finally what happened is God said that all the firstborn that didn't have blood on their door frames would die. All the firstborn. So what happened is the angel comes through, swept through, and every frame that had the blood on it was passed over. But the ones that didn't have the blood put on there in honor of the Savior, that their firstborn died. So we have Passover first. When Jesus comes together with the disciples and has the Last Supper, it's a memorial of that time. It's a memory. It's a celebration of the fact that they're celebrating what Passover was. So now when we take communion, what we do is we actually celebrate both. What we're actually doing is it's a reminder and a memory of both situations. One, the fact that we have a faithful God that always seems to pull us out and save us. The fact that Jesus said it, comes back and he tells the disciples the same thing, that we have a God here that can save you. So there's three things when I was thinking about the things that about communion, what it means. And there's so much more in communion that we can think about. I mean, there's so much background in the Jewish tradition. And we've taught before in the past some past communion messages, some different things. But today I really wanted to talk about three simple things because obviously we're in here and it's going to have to be a shorter time. So I wanted to read to you 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 30. It's when Paul reminded the church everything that Jesus wanted us all to remember. Okay, so he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died." So, when you look at the scripture, it actually has three really powerful points in it. And really, throughout the whole time, every time communion is mentioned, there's three points that really God makes clear that he wants us to do when we remember the times of the past through Passover or Last Supper or when we take communion. One is that we should remember to look back. When we look back to the cross, what we're doing is remembering all that Christ accomplished for us on our behalf. We can see the love that he had. When he died, when he hung on the cross for us, we can see that he willingly, he died in our place and he forgave us of our sins. He says, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." So we need to thank him for his broken body. We need to thank him for his shed blood. We need to thank him that he willingly went to the cross, that he suffered on our behalf. Each one of us who's ever accepted Jesus as our Savior, we have to remember that when Christ died on the cross, he died for all mankind, but you have to personalize. You have to remember, he did it for you. Your sins are upon his back. When he died and took his last breath, when he suffered, it was because of each of our sins. You know, I've always said at least one of those times he was whipped, I'm sure, was for me. My sins, what happened, you know, because I chose to go the wrong way. So we have a God that so willingly died in our place, and we need to look back. We need to always go back and remember that. Well, everything that we've been forgiven. We've been saved. We have to remember the person you were before is not the person you are anymore. You know, we need to look back every now and then. I'm thankful that we have a God that doesn't let us completely forget. Because when we forgot, we wouldn't remember how really miserable we were and how we needed a Savior. So it's awesome to look back and think, yeah, I was that person, but I am not that person no more because God saved me. So it's important to look back sometimes, but then to keep looking forward because we have a God that forgives and loves. You know, what we were once was just unlovable sinners who were given a second chance, you know, at living and then how to die better. We get to die better because we've been forgiven by God. So how amazing is that? So we need to always look back. The other thing we need to do is we need to look ahead. The first time Jesus came to this earth, he came as a lowly servant. The next time Jesus comes back, he comes as a conquering king. He comes here riding on a horse, and he's going to just take control of everything. That's what's so amazing. You know, that's one of the things I didn't know until I really got saved. You know, I was thankful for all that Christ did for me, that he died, and, you know, that he died on the cross, that he lived and he died. And it was okay. But you know what? I don't think I ever really had too many people tell me that he's coming back. That's amazing, guys. He's coming back for us. All of us that love him so much, he's coming back because he cares. It's like how we would never leave our kids behind. We'd always go back for him because we love him so much. That's how God thinks about us. So the thing is, when it says in the Bible, it says, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. He promises us that. So we take communion, and what we do is we remember his promise that he's coming back. And we hope, and we wait for it. And we trust that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Kids out there, if you're sick, how many of you guys out there have never gone to a friend's house to go and sleep over and you got sick and you had to call home? All of us who are adults remember that time. Having to call home and you're like, I'm sick, I need you to come get me. And you know, you make that call and you hang up and you know what? Your mom and dad's coming for you. And it's that belief and that trust. You just think, yes, okay, I get to go home soon because I don't feel good. My mom and dad are coming. That's how Christ is for us. Christ is for us. He's not going to leave us there. He's going to come get us. He's never going to leave us behind. So we have this promise of God that he comes back for us. And that is amazing. So we need to always look back and we need to look ahead. We need to understand that he's coming back, that there is a promise that we can forever trust upon. The other thing is we could always look within. That's something that God really wants us to do. And that's, I think, a lot of times what we forget to do when we take communion. Paul reminds us, like Jesus did to Judas, that we are to look within ourselves and ask that the Holy Spirit would show us any areas of our lives that actually betray him. We have to ask ourselves if we're living a life that's pleasing to God. It says in that scripture, it says, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Now, it sounds so harsh, but it is so true. God says what it is what he did was he proposed to us. We are his bride. He is the groom. So he proposed to us. Well, we don't want to be unfaithful to someone who's proposed and we're promised to them forever. So what happens is, If we make a promise to God that, yes, we love you and we're going to accept this proposal, that we come in and we are our bride, we want to follow that. We don't want to do something that constantly betrays that. It's just like any relationship that you have that's meaningful. If you promise something to someone, you want to be faithful. And that's exactly what God asks of us. He says, be faithful. So if your life is living, the life that you're living is very unfaithful, he says it's something to think about. Don't just eat the promise and the blood and the body of Christ. Think about who you are and what you're living, and if your life is betraying what you say you really live. Sometimes, you know what, we don't necessarily always stack up the way we'd like to. You know, we say we are doing one thing, but then we do another. It's just how human nature we are. You know, we tend to fail so often. And God understands you're not going to be perfect, because none of us are. But what he does say is like, but what's your heart say? Do you want to please me or do you not care any longer? You know, that's the main thing that you think upon. He understands that you're going to have times where you fail. We all do. But is your desire to come closer to him or is your desire to stay farther apart? That's something to remind yourself with. So it's really important that we don't try to appear as if we're Jesus' friend, but we actually, in our actuality, we're living as his enemy. By the way that we actually are living our lives. See, the thing is, God is willing to forgive you even at the moment of communion. If you go up and you say, God, I'm not perfect and I'm sorry for the things I've done, he'll forgive you. That's how we have amazing, amazing God that loves us so much that he's so willing to just say, yes, you're forgiven. But we have to truly mean it. You know, the thing is, we have to truly ask God to forgive us. And if we fail to confess those things to him, it doesn't have to be out loud, it doesn't have to be thing, but you know what you're dealing with in your life. All of us have things that we struggle with. You can take a moment, really, and just say to God, there's things I know I'm not doing right, I'm going to do better, I don't want to displease you, I want to follow you. And he'll forgive you. The thing is, if we don't, and if we come and we take the blood and the body of Christ, he says that what we do is we put judgment upon ourselves. Because God is great and loving and kind, but he's also just. He's justice. So communion is this greatest of all meals. Not because of the bread, because the bread's so delicious. Not because the grape juice is amazing. But because our God is amazing. That's what's so great. So the thing is, we can see that this time that we come together, that it's a very powerful moment. It really is powerful. If I could have the worship team come forward. You guys can come up and get started. You know, the thing is, what we have to remember when we come and we take communion is it's a much more meaningful thing than something we just to do it. It's not something we're going to check off our list. You know, the thing is, we don't. Like Cameron says, we're not super religious. We're not going to do something every week where it becomes something that's just rote and just, you know, mechanical. What we want you to do when you take communion is really that you stop and think about your relationship with God. How much God loves you the way that he died for you. How much do you love God? How much does your life really reflect how much it is that you love him? That's those things that you really need to think upon when you take communion. So the thing is, you have to do three things, like I said. You have to look back. You have to look ahead. And you have to look within. That's the most important things. Now, when we take communion today, when we're all going to get together and we're going to take it, obviously you can see there's two on the side and two up front. What I really want you to do when we're playing this, we're going to play this worship song. What we really want you to do is that you just take a moment. You feel when you're right to come up. You know yourself where you are. It doesn't have to be everybody gets up the same aisle at the same time. The thing is, what you need to do is you need to really take a moment to really be thankful to God. God, I know you died in my place. I know that you've forgiven me, and really just think upon that and thank him. And then when you also look within yourself, you decide if there's something that's not right. If there's something that's not right and you need to ask God to maybe forgive you a little bit more about something that you're dealing with, and you need to say, I take this to the cross, I'm sorry, I want you to forgive me for this. Don't do it flippantly. Come up and do it meaningfully. You know, come up and really just think upon what it is that you're doing. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you're a new time, a new believer, or a new person's ever walked in the door here, just so you know, you can still accept Jesus right now. The thing is, what's so great about God is it doesn't have to be a major ceremony where you have to come up and do something. All you can do is say, God, I know that you are the God of this world, that you love me, that you care for me, and that you desire for me to be close. And Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. And I'm going to make you number one in my life. I'm going to serve you. And that's what my plan is. And he says he'll forgive you. It's that simple. So if you've never accepted Jesus, you want to do that, just ask right now for Jesus to forgive you for the things that you've done wrong. Also tell him that when he died on the cross, that he carried your sins there. That's when he did it. He took your sins. And tell him that you trust him. And that when he comes back, you know he's coming back for you. That's what it's all about. And if you're a follower of God, like I said, if you know that there's something, there's just something now that's keeping you feeling a little bit more distant from God, discuss it with him before you come up. Come up when you feel you're ready. All I'm asking is what you guys do is just take a small piece of bread, dip it in the glass of the juice, and then just really just thank God. And then you can go ahead and take your seats, and we're going to spend some more time in worship of God, okay? Okay.